I share all that with you because Tina and I want you to know that this is a very monumental moment for us. We have had a long-term goal. I'm not kidding you. Since I started pastoring way back in 1979, that I didn't want to do it for pay. I thought, you know, Lord, how can I do this full-time and not get paid? It'd be great. And I haven't been able to accomplish it. But beginning January 1st, T and I are taking up substantial reduction in income. And the reason for that is varied. Number one, it's been a long-term goal. Number two, it'll help the ministry out. And because we can. We're at that age now. But we're going to have substantially reduced our compensation beginning in 2017. And we will assume the role of apostolic overseers of Church on the North Coast. So we will be the overseers of all four campuses, all the pastors, beginning January 1st. And our duties will include, so don't misunderstand me, because somebody said, well, we're sure going to miss your preaching. Listen to me. I will be preaching ministry, all right, overseeing the executive team, thank you, pastors of CNC, vision casting, leadership development, consultation of the administration of our church. And we're very excited about this next phase of our ministry, and we look forward to developing new leaders throughout our four regional campuses. We have a feeling we're going to have more regional campuses. My grandson, Dominic, some of you have met him already, and you've heard him preach. He's going to be preaching more. He has a burden for downtown Cleveland. He said, Papa, we've got to have a church in downtown Cleveland. I said, you know what? Let's pray. God can do it. So he has a burden, so I think it's going to expand. And we want to establish the undeniable testimony of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Northeastern Ohio, and around the world. Dr. Summerall, which was my personal mentor for over 13 years, shared with me these three things. He said, the first 20 years of your life in ministry are your learning years. That's right. It takes 20 years to learn how to pastor. People that are pastoring 3 or 4 years, they think they've got it. You don't have it. It takes a lifetime to learn this. Your second 20 years is your giving years. Now that you've learned how to do it, now you got to do it. And it's your building years. I'm sorry. It's your building years. So you're building buildings. You're acquiring ministry. You're going to, like I did, I went to Israel 7 times. Pastor Troy's over there now. I was looking at the pictures on Facebook, and I said, you go, Troy. Because I know that's a grueling trip. You get up in the morning, get on that bus. All right, let's go to the next site. Get off the bus. You got to preach. You got to teach about that site. He's doing a great job. But I've done that 7 times. I've been to Africa to help start over 3,000 churches. I preached all around the country of Uganda. I've been to Moscow. I've been to Russia. I've been, you know, I've done these things, and it's part of my building years. We bought buildings. We bought property. We've started a school. I had a school from K to 12. We had a high school basketball team that was competing with local high schools and beating them. It was God's will. Plans, growth, expansion. However, I'm now in my last 20 years. 20 years. You got me for another 20. You know what that is? It's my giving years. It's my giving years. It's taking what I've acquired and giving it to whoever wants it. What I mean by that is raising up leaders, imparting to others. You know, we went first to Dr. Summerall's house because we drove all the way to South Bend to hear him preach on a Thursday night. He was preaching in a midweek service. We said, man, he's only 4 hours away. Let's drive from Lorain to South Bend. We got there, and you know what? There was hardly anybody in a midweek service. There were about 200 people there. It sat 3,000. I'm like, people are right around the corner, and I drove 4 hours to hear this man? What's wrong with them? Later, we found out there were no other pastors that came to hear the wisdom of this man who had traveled the world, who bought a freighter to deliver food, a C-130, who had preached in every nation of the earth, who understood that you feed your faith and starve your doubts to death, a true apostle in his day, and nobody came to hear him. I remember him looking at us and finally learning who we were every Thursday night as we drove there, and he'd clear his throat. You want to get some tomato soup and a cheese sandwich after church? I'm like, is the Pope Catholic? Of course I do, yeah. And we built this relationship to one day he said, I want you to show you my house. And we walked into his house, took us into his bedroom. I mean, it felt such an intimate moment. He showed all the different artifacts and gifts that he had acquired from leaders all over the world, thanking him for his participation in their nation as he would bring thousands and millions of pounds of food to help the hungry. I was with him in, forget what nation we were at, 1.2 million pounds of food that we had helped distribute, 35,000 people in a baseball stadium giving their life to Christ. And we're the only pastor because now he's almost 80 years old. But he said to me, this is where I sit every morning and write my books. He's written over 120 books that are distributed in multiple languages across the world. People are reading them today, still studying them. Matter of fact, if you tune in, you could see him preaching. He's in heaven. And he said to me, I write here from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. because God said you should never allow what he has shown you by revelation to go with you to the grave and not give it to the next generation. He said, you need to write. So I'm going to take that as a mantle from Dr. Summerall. So I'm going to do a lot more writing, focusing on raising up leaders, imparting what I've learned, and be the overseer of the ministry. I'm still going to preach. Won't be here every week, that's for sure. I'm not now. But you're going to have quality people like Pastor Troy. You'll have quality people like little Pastor Dominic. He's my little grandson. But boy, that kid can preach the paint off the walls. I'll tell you, he's anointed and he's appointed. And others as well. You've got great leaders like Pastor Bramley as a campus pastor. And of course, Bon Tang, you are an amazing woman. I don't know that I've met anybody like you in 40 years of ministry. I just haven't. And Pastor Marcus, you guys are just incredible, loving. I mean, I just feel humbled by your presence. I really do. So we're excited about it. We just wanted to announce that to you today so you know where the church is going to be headed. So know that I'm not retiring. People say, oh, you're going to retire. No, I'm not going to retire. But I'm not going to do all the everyday pastoral things that I've been doing because I can't. I noticed since August when we opened Avon and then a week later we opened Wycliffe, and I'm trying to go to every pot blessing, at every service, at every location. I'm trying to do the counseling to every place, and I'm trying to receive every phone call on every location. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. And I'm like, God, I didn't want this. He said, yeah, I didn't ask for this. And he said, look, it's not your show. Get out of the way. I said, I get it. Raise up leaders. I got qualified people that are appointed and anointed. They'll do the job and do it much better than you could anyway. And really, God's speaking to us. Tia and I affirmed that today in the car coming from Wycliffe. We feel this is the season. This is going to be awesome. So get ready. It's going to be good. Okay? All right. If you have questions, I can't take any now. But I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. Can I preach for a little bit this morning? Is that okay? I won't keep you long, but I am going to preach. I want you to get your book out, the Bible. That's the book I want you to get out. If you're reading Reader's Digest, put it away. If you're reading your latest Cosmopolitan, put it away. Get your Bible out. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. How many know that we're right at Christmas? Yeah, that's what that tree means. Yeah, we're right at Christmas. And you and I understand something about Christmas. It's got a message. Here's the message. Say it with me. Ready? Glory to God in the highest. Come on, everybody. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, and goodwill toward men. Notice something about that scripture. God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. But notice, earth is about to be invaded with something. What is earth about to be invaded with? Peace. How? Through the Prince of Peace himself, coming from heaven into earth and bringing his reign of peace into the earth. Notice that with peace comes something. Goodwill. God has goodwill toward you and me. Come on, look at two or three people and say, God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Come on now, you know that to be true, right? Come on, if you know it's to be true, say amen. God is good all the time, right? It's the goodwill of God. Did you know the kindness of God leads us to repentance? The goodness of God got you up this morning, sent you on your way. It is the goodness of the Lord that fed you today and clothed you today. God is good, and He's going to work it out. You know, every time T and I have always been in a difficult place, we always lean into the truth that simply says, God is good, and we know He's going to make this work. And God always does. It may not be the way I wanted it to be, or the way I thought it ought to be, or the timing of it, but you know what? God knew better. And in the end, I can look back and say, but God. How many can say, but God, in your life? Yeah, I can say, but God, so many times. So notice something. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So God is good toward you. Don't get mad at God. God's not mad at you. Somebody's lied to you to make you think that you could be mad at God, that He didn't do something that you wanted Him or needed Him to do. God is at work in your life. Know this, that revelation is in the earth. God is constantly revealing Himself. And as far as you've come in God this morning, you have not completed your journey. How many know there's more to God than what you've already experienced? Are you ready for a little bit more from God? Well, then shout out, more, Lord.
More.
See, you and I need more of God in our life. And there's always something you're not seeing. There's always something that God has said that you haven't heard. There's always something that God has planted that you haven't discovered yet. That's why God is good. Because if you look hard enough, you may think you're about to die and go over to a juniper bush because there's no water to drink. And suddenly God shows up and there's a well for your son and you both. You may think that you're about to put the knife right into the chest of your only son, and suddenly God had grown up a thicket because He knew at that time that that thicket would have to grow so big, so large, with thorns so penetrating that it would have to snag a sheep, it would have to snag a mountain sheep at the right time when that knife was about to go into your son's chest, and the Lord say, do not kill your son, for I have prepared for you a sacrifice. Yes. Abraham didn't see it till he needed it. Come on, there's some things in our life we won't see until we need it. And God has already prepared for those that love God the blessing of the Lord. So this is a good day. Tomorrow's even going to be a better day. So don't let the devil lie to you that God is not good. Come on, tell 2-3 people, God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Now we talked about this place called peace. Last week we found out that peace is dependent on your mind. Or not last week, the week before. That peace is dependent upon your mind, where your mind is. Isaiah 26:3. He who keeps his mind stayed on God shall what? Have perfect peace. So we know that the mind staying on God results in perfect peace. How do we stay our mind there? We have to train our mind. We got to train in righteousness. I use the illustration of a dog. Remember that? That you could train a dog to sit under the command, stay, and it will not move. Even though its natural instincts want the steak that's laying 10 feet from where it's sitting, it will not leave the command to stay because it's been trained to resist the natural instincts to pursue. Because the command becomes the greater influence in its life. God said that you and I can stay our mind on Him no matter what's happening in our instincts of fear or doubt or anger or to take matters in our own hands. We would resist it because we're under the command to stay our mind on God. When you and I do that, we have perfect peace. Now notice what happens. What comes with peace? Goodwill. Goodwill. Everybody say goodwill. Why is that important? Because that's how we get along. That's how God commanded the earth to operate in unity. You and I cannot be in unity because we go to the same church, same denomination, same political affiliation, because we're the same race, because we're the same age, because we all like boating, because we all golf on Tuesdays. I'm in the bowling league. Now I like you because you bowl. If you don't bowl, I'm not sure about you, because everybody that doesn't bowl, they're probably crazy, because only good people bowl. Or we have these presuppositions about people. Those are not the ways that we create unity. The way we create unity is goodwill. But you can't have goodwill if you don't have peace. Staying your mind on God produces peace, and then as a result, goodwill toward men. The Old Testament saint only had the promise of peace. Everybody say, the promise of peace. Would you rather have the promise of peace or the presence of peace? Man, I'd like the presence of peace. See, here's what they had in Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring in health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. This in Jeremiah 33:6 was a promise of the future. But do you know what day you live in? Folks, we're not in the old covenant. Aren't you glad that it's not a promise, it's the reality? It's the presence. It is Jeremiah 33:6. Not Jeremiah 3:6. But nonetheless, it is the present. It is where we live. You and I woke up this morning on the timepiece of God in the most amazing, the most intense opportunistic time since the history of man. We are, as many predict, at the midnight hour. Think about this. We are at that moment when the clock is about to strike midnight. We are in that place. You and I woke up this morning in the peace of God. Not hoping to get the peace of God. Not the promise of the peace of God. But you woke up in the peace of God. And it revealed to us. We have the revealing of the peace of God in our life. Now there's a huge difference between the promise of something and the possession of it. I don't want to be promised something. I want to possess it. Now, do you ever hear of the Goodwill Industries? Okay. Do you know what their motto is? Have no idea, do you? Nope, nobody knows what Goodwill motto is. Here it is. Their mission statement, to enhance, listen to this, the dignity and quality of life of individuals. To enhance the dignity and the quality of life of individuals, families, and communities. Watch. By eliminating barriers to opportunity. And helping people to reach the fullest potential through the power of work. That's what Goodwill Industries is all about. It is eliminating barriers that's preventing people from reaching their potential. Goodwill is eliminating barriers in other people that are preventing them from reaching their potential in God. Goodwill. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And every power of darkness, every power and principality of the air that has tried to wreak havoc in your life, in my life, in every region of the planet, that darkness of which you and I sat under, according to Luke 1:79, was chaotic. But God, the light, penetrated the darkness. And what did he do? He dispelled the darkness with light, and he brought peace out of chaos. And now he gave us the opportunity to eliminate every barrier that was preventing you and I from achieving our destiny, our purpose on the earth. So goodwill is powerful, but you can't have goodwill without peace. Can't have peace without staying your mind on God. That's why everything is out for your mind. The devil is out for your mind. He puts thoughts in your mind. Do you know some people hate other people because of what they think about them? I never even ask you, but I could just tell you don't like me. So I live my whole life feeling you don't like me. Because I could tell when I see you, you turn the other way. I know what you're doing. See, and you never ask me if I ever turn the other way. And then when you did, I'm like, I never even see you. Now you hurt my feelings because I'm not even important in your life. We live on presupposition. We live on lie. We live on deceit. You know, I've often told people, have you ever talked to someone about that? I said, well, they just don't like me at this church. Everybody hates me. I used to have a person here that was at the church. They always said that to me. They said, Pastor, everybody doesn't like me here. I said, that's not true. I like you. I'm not everybody. Well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to like me. I'm like, oh, okay, so now I'm disqualified because I'm the pastor. The point being, why don't you go to him and say, excuse me, I just get this feeling that when I'm with you that I bring pain to your life or do you have difficulty with me? Am I accurate? They're like, no, you got to, no, 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 no. What? Who made you think that? What are you talking about? See, until you did that and exposed the lie, you'd live on that falsity and create an existence with that person that is the antithesis of why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? Goodwill. Jesus came to give us peace. How do we get that? Stay our mind on God. But now it's supposed to impact us where we live, our marriages, our relationship with our kids, our church family, our community. We cannot assume that the only time we get along is when we're with our people. I can be with my people. Who are your people? You know, people would always say, I got to be with my people. What? You know what? In the right moment, your people would stab you in the back. You can't base it on the world's peace or the world's unity. Come on. I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Let me define goodwill for you. Here's what it is in the Greek. Number one, kindness. Everybody say kindness. So goodwill is what? Kindness. So when you have your mind stayed on God, you have peace, you operate in goodwill, which means you're a kind person. That's why we can't have mean greeters. Think about it. If you had a mean greeter, that would be the exact opposite of why we assemble. Whenever you get mean, it is because your mind is not stayed. Don't shout me down. On peace. Because when your mind stayed on peace, you have goodwill. Part of goodwill defined is kindness. Did you ever meet a mean Christian? There are a lot of them in church. Mean, just mean people. You know what that tells me? That tells me their mind's not stayed on God. They're not in peace. They are in themselves, or they're in the world's peace. They make judgments. They want you to assemble, and they want you to conform to their ideology. If you do, you can have their goodwill. Number two, goodwill is kindness, but it's also friendliness. You know, friendliness is a covenant term. God said, behold, I call you friend. It's a covenant term. Friendliness. To make a friend, you got to be a friend. The old adage. Friendliness. Friends don't hurt each other. Friends don't disappoint each other. Friends don't walk out when things are going wrong or going bad. Goodwill is friendliness, but it's also benevolence. Benevolence. You know what that means? That means it means like when someone has an experience and they're in pain, you're in pain. When they're weeping, guess what? You start weeping and you pull out a tissue for them. When they're rejoicing, you're rejoicing with them. Their emotion moves you. Benevolent towards one another is a result of peace, which produces goodwill. Goodwill is benevolence, acts of benevolence. I use this illustration. We have a love center where we pass out food to people, hundreds of people every month. Hundreds. We feed hundreds, probably 1,000 people, we're counting all the families, every month. But people will get involved in that ministry initially because they have a benevolent feeling for those that are hungry. But if they don't stay their mind on God in peace, they'll lose the goodwill, which is what? Benevolence. Now they're operating in mechanics. They become churchy. Now they're looking at people that are overweight coming to get food. They're looking at them and they're passing judgments. They're saying, you don't need food. You don't need food. You ought to go on a fast and come back next month. Why is she coming in here with food? She don't need that. Look, she took two pies. We told them one pie, they took two pies. Tell that woman to put that pie back. Now you are the love center policeman. You're looking at everybody, what they're taking. You're only taking 15 items. You take 16, I'm going to call the cops on you. You're mad at people for showing up early. You're mad because they want something that you don't have. They're not grateful. So now you're mad at them for not being grateful. I volunteer here. I don't have to do this for you. You lost benevolence. You know why? Because your mind's not stayed on God. You're out of peace. And when you're out of peace place, you have no goodwill. Now you're doing it out of obligation. Now you're doing it out of churchianity. Now you're doing it to try to exalt yourself. It's not out of love. Goodwill toward men. Look, if you go to awake for someone, you go because you have benevolence and you feel their pain. You don't go because they're a family member and you have to be there. They'll say something if I don't show, so I'm going to go. You never liked him. You never liked her. They didn't like you. The family didn't get along. But you go. I'm going to go because I'd rather go than have to hear about it on Christmas that I didn't show. So here I am. That's not benevolence. Your mind's out of peace. You're not in goodwill. And here you are doing something that's not motivated out of love. You know what that is? That's the world's peace. And that'll always break down. Everybody say break down. Goodwill means an attitude of what? Kindness, friendliness, and benevolence. Take that off the screen, please. Hurry. They're all going to memorize it, write it down now. Okay, goodwill is? No, don't put it back up. I want them to try to remember it. No, don't take a picture. Look at John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave you. Peace I leave with you." John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Now notice something. This is a powerful scripture. Jesus has something to give. What is it? Because he's the Prince of Peace. So he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Notice he identified it as his possession, which tells me there is another kind of peace. Because he distinguished it by saying, "This is my peace." It's sort of like saying, "This is my meatloaf." My meatloaf ain't like your meatloaf. It's meatloaf, but it's not like mine. So Jesus is saying, "This is peace. It's my peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you." In other words, what I'm giving you as peace, the world can also offer to you in the name of peace because they possess a false peace. It's all predicated on you doing what they expect. That's all predicated on you being in the right political party. It's all predicated on you being in agreement with their philosophy of ministry. It's all predicated on you doing what they expect you to do. And if you don't do it, no more peace. That's the world's peace. But God's peace is different. It's not predicated on what a person does or doesn't do. It usurps all that. Last year when we were doing Hope Over Heroin, I tried to recruit pastors and community leaders. You know what I heard from a lot of people? "Why should we help those people?" Yeah. I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, they chose to get high. They knew that stuff kills them." I said, "Yeah, but we had, 64 overdoses in Lorain County alone in the first 6 months of that year." He said, "Well, you know what? You make your bed, you got to sleep in it. That's their problem. That's the way it goes." I said, "You know what? You don't know what spirit you're of." See, when you're not in God's peace, everything is relegated on based on performance. It's all based on what you can do to conform to what I expect. If you don't live life the way I expect it, now you don't deserve my grace. God's peace usurps that altogether. His peace goes beyond that. God doesn't look at you and go, "Well, you don't deserve it," because none of us really did. But for the grace of God, right? There's not one person in here but couldn't say "but God" and "but God's grace" in our life. We would not be here. But because God's grace is operating in our life, I am here. Who am I not to extend to you the same grace? It won't do it if I'm not in my mind stayed on God, because I won't have goodwill, which is defined in three ways. Don't put it back up on the screen. Goodwill is... those three things mark a Christian who is in peace. When those are absent, you are in the world's peace. It's all conditional. And in 40 years of ministry, I've experienced people who come to church in worldly peace. They love me. Pastor, we just love this church. I'm like, okay. We'll see. When someone crosses you, when you don't get what you want, when something happens you don't agree with, all of a sudden, I'm the devil's advocate. Now you're going to some other church where there's real love. Got it. In other words, we love people based on what they do and how they conform. But God's peace isn't that way. God's peace goes beyond that. This scripture reveals there's a faulty peace, and it has its origin in the world. It would appear then, if we're not living in goodwill, we're not living in the peace of God. Keeping one's mind stayed on peace defeats the enemy on every front. That's why we can't believe a lie that even culture has taught us. All right. I grew up in church. Not this kind of church, but church. And we were taught, when you sat in the pew, you didn't look around or look behind you. You know how hard that is as a kid? I'm like sitting there going, what's back there? Don't you turn around in church. And you couldn't talk out of church. You couldn't talk out loud. You couldn't speak because you had to be reverent. You spoke in church. My brother and I, we spoke one Sunday, laughing, goofing off. You know what happened to us? We got home after church, pulled our pants up over our knees. Mom put some rice down on the linoleum floor and said, kneel there for a minute in that corner. That's what I got for talking in church. I want to liberate everybody in this room right now. Talk. Talk. Come on. Talk. Talk. Look at your neighbor and say, amen, or hey, God, glad you're here, or whoopee-doo, or skedaddle-doo, or what? Say something. Hallelujah. No punishment here. But you know what? When we grow up with that, we have a tendency of coming to church and anybody talking, somebody says, amen, pastor, like, that's irreverent, man. That's irreverent. Because we come from our culture teaches us you have to be quiet in church. I remember the first time I came to an expressive, worshipful church. People were like, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm like, these people are crazy. Anybody ever feel that way beside me? Some of you. And the first Sunday I thought, you know, I'm going to break out. I'm going to raise my hand. Like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm like, this feels pretty good. I'm going to do a two-handed thing. Hallelujah. And I got up half mass. Hallelujah. And one day I'm like, I'm going for it. Hallelujah. I'm like one of them crazies. Oh my gosh, I became one of them crazies. Because we get lied to by our culture. We get lied to by our environment. We get lied to by our experience. We get lied to by the media. I mean, everything on Facebook's true, right? I mean, you know, come on. You see what I mean? And we just take it hook, line, and sinker. The problem is the enemy who presents false peace brings into our minds, because they're not stayed on God, falsity, untruths about others, about people, about churches. And suddenly we believe a lie and we live that way against those people. We go through our whole life thinking, don't you turn in church. And if you do, you're being disrespectful. You could bring that into this church. You could say, oh, I can't believe it. They had coffee in the sanctuary. Oh, my gosh, coffee in the sanctuary. I'm not advocating bring your lunch, you know. I'm not advocating that. But I'm saying, you know, little kids are running through the sanctuary. They're playing. There's kids that play. Big space, play. Kids are being irreverent in God's house. Stop them kids from running. And I've seen ushers trying to tackle kids. I'm like, they're kids. Why are you trying to tackle them kids? You're going to get arrested. P Peace is a place. Say that with me. Peace is a place. How do I know that? Because he who keeps his mind stayed on God will be in perfect peace. It's sort of this way. If I said to you, meet me, give me a street, an intersection here that's close by that you would know. I don't even know. Granger and Canal. Meet me on the corner of Granger and Canal on the southwest corner. You'd be like, I know where that's at. And so you'd go to that place to meet, because I said that's where we're going to meet. He who keeps his mind stayed on God will be in perfect peace. God said, meet me on the corner of Canal and Granger. That's the place of peace, because that's where God is. So I go there. Hey, God, I'm here. Whoo, perfect peace. That's awesome. Now watch. But he said that to all of us. So now you look around, and all these people are standing on the same corner. You're in perfect peace, just like me. And I have goodwill towards you. I have friendliness and benevolence towards you, because we're all in the place of peace. Get out of that place of peace. Now I'm suspect of you. I'm angry at you. I'm prejudiced against you. I'm biased. I have all these feelings of animosity, hate, because I'm not in the place of peace, and neither are you. So we have to be in the place of peace, because it produces goodwill. It produces benevolence. And see, the world has tried to say to us, if you're a Democrat, you'll have peace. If you're a Republican, you'll have peace. If you're a Church of God in Christ, you'll have peace. If you're Assembly of God, you'll have peace. But if you try to be Assembly of God and then go over to Church of God in Christ, you're going to be out of peace. Because the only place in peace is in the Church of God in Christ. See, I've had pastors tell congregants who come to me and say, my pastor told me if I leave, I'd probably go to hell. Because we're the only true church in Cleveland. I said, well, I pray for your pastor right now. Because that spirit, he doesn't know what spirit he's of. And neither do I, or neither do you, when we pass judgment on people based on where they go to church. Or how many people deserve God's grace? Oh, he's got AIDS? Sorry for you. You should have known the Bible condemns homosexuality. I try to tell you, now you're getting your punishment, you're going to hell. What is wrong with you? Why would you say that to another human being created in the image of God? That the devil destroyed, killed, maligned, and stole from the kingdom of God. It's because we're not in peace. Because our peace has been conditional based on people's performance. It's time for revolution in America. And the only way to have a revolution, a true revolution, is not a peace movement. No, it's not a peace movement. It's not another march. All respect to Dr. Bernice King. It's not another affiliation. It is that all of us go to the same place called peace. And out of that, operate in goodwill one to another. And it's not predicated on anything, and I bring none of my baggage with me. I have to let all of those things leave me, go from me. Now, I think that this morning we need to read one more verse in Romans 12:18, and then I'm going to conclude, because this is a life verse for me. I've learned this through hardship many years ago. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Peaceably with all men. If it depends on you, as much as it is possible and depends on you, live peacefully with all men. I can live peacefully with all men. How do I do that? By staying in peace. It is dependent on me. It's possible if I make it possible. Now let me say this. The place of peace is not created when all of your life is in a neat and organized system. How many know your life will never be in a neat and organized system? No matter how much you try, all you administratively gifted people, you think you got it all in order, and then something gets out of whack and it ruins your day. Peace will not be established when there's nothing out of order, when everyone loves you and thinks you're great. You know, I think everybody loves me. There's just some people that haven't had that revelation yet. But they will. No, they really will, because They just need to get, they need to cross the street. If they cross the street and get to place of peace, they're going to be like, my brother, I love you. I love you too. But right now, they're out of peace. I can't expect someone to operate in the benevolence, kindness, or friendliness of God when they're not in true peace. As a matter of fact, it ought to elicit sympathy on my behalf on their life to say, I need to pray for them to bring them into a more peaceful place with God. That's why we say, make peace with God today before you leave this place. What do we mean by making peace? Keep your mind stayed on Him. Forsake the world's offering of peace, which is so fragmented and so conditional. But you can come into God's peace, and no matter what, where, or who, you and I can walk with Him. And we can walk with one another. It's an amazing truth. Think about this. There'll always be some neighbor who has a dog that will poop in your yard. I had this neighbor once, and that dog, you remember that dog over on the lake house? That dog would come, he'd leave his owner's yard, and I'd watch him. I said, here he comes. This is a big dog, too. This is not a little dog. Big dog with big turds. Come over to my yard and does this. Sniffing around. I'm over to him. Get out of here. Dog look up at me like, there he did it. Squat. I'm like, that dog just went to the bathroom in my yard. I'm letting them know about him. Your dog just went in my yard. There'll always be some dog doing its business in your yard. We had a neighbor once. My kid's ball, my grandkids, their ball went into their yard. She wouldn't give it back. She, this is my ball now. Teach your kids to be playing in my yard. This is my ball. I said, don't ever touch my grass. You touch my grass, I'm going to tackle you and beat you up. You know, you're like, what? What's the deal here? My kids one time, she knocked on the door because my grandkids cut the corner of the sidewalk and drove their bike on their grass. Your kids, I see tire marks on my grass. Okay. Peace, God. Give me some peace right now. Because I'm about to get in some worldly peace right now. But you'll always have that. You'll always have something break down. You'll always have something that doesn't work. Something that messes up. Something that falls apart. If you're looking for those things to bring you peace, you're going to live a chaotic life. But if you keep your mind stayed on Him, that dog, it's all right. That neighbor, we finally moved. We used this jelly bean story for years, and we still refer to it. Becca was in third grade, I think, maybe fourth, I don't remember. She was being bullied at school, coming home every day, crying. This little girl's picking on me. She doesn't like me. You know, when you come, your kids come home, you're like ready to go over there and beat up a little kid, you know. Don't you treat my kid like that. You know, you're just like defending your children. You all defend your children. So Tina had this thought. She said, what you ought to do is you ought to bless her. And we're going to go buy a bag of jelly beans. You're going to give them to her and tell her that you want to be her friend. I can't do that, Mom. She doesn't like me. Blah, blah, blah. The whole thing. So finally, Becca, actually, I don't know the story. I'm probably not getting it right. Am I close? Okay. Because every time I do this, when it's 40 years removed, Tina's in the car. She goes, you didn't say that right. It wasn't jelly beans. It was Reese's Cups. I'm like, okay, all right. Was it jelly beans?
Yes.
It was jelly beans. So Becca went to school with the jelly beans. And if it was me, I'd have walked up to that kid. And if I can, be so bold. Can I use your right? I just, like, say you're my bully. You're the bully. You just sit there. You're the bully. No, don't stand up. I'm Becca. If that was me, and if I wasn't in the peace of God, I would have said, Hey, I got some jelly beans for you. Boom! Don't talk to me like that no more. Boom! Don't. You hit me, go boom! I said, here, have your jelly beans. That's how I would have treated it. But when you're in the peace of God, you bless those who persecute you, despitefully use you for his name's sake. You walk up and go, inside, I want to slap you right now, but Jesus is Lord. It's like that dog. Stay. Meat, steak, 10 feet from that dog. That dog's like salivating. But he's under the command to stay. Sometimes you and I are the command of peace. We're going to be benevolent even though you don't deserve it, Jack. I'm going to be kind even though you've been the meanest person on the block. Right? I'm going to be benevolent because you're weeping. I need to weep with you. But inside, I'm salivating. Rebecca came up. She said, I just wanted to give you these jelly beans, and I just want to be your friend. And she gave them to her. He took the jelly beans. And you know what? She came home. She said, Mom, it worked. We're best friends now. It's amazing, isn't it? That when you show kindness, it leads towards repentance. That's what God did for you and me. Kindness leads us towards repentance. The world thinks it's good at making peace. How many know the world doesn't know anything about peace? An interesting article recently that I read said that of the 3,600 years of recorded history in our world, there's only been 286 years of peace. 3,600 years, only 286 years of peace. And during those 3,600 years of recorded history, there has been roughly 8,000 peace treaties initiated, and every one of them have been broken in one way or another. So the world's not real good at peace. Over 14,000 wars have taken place in those 3,600 years. 14,000 wars. And you know how many people lost their life? 3.6 billion have died as a result of war in the earth. That tells me that this world is bad at making peace and keeping peace. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know the Prince of Peace, your world from this day forward, just as it's been up to this day, will be dependent on all the right conditions in your life. But let me tell you, welcome to the real world. Without Christ's peace, chaos will have you up, down, in and out like a yo-yo on a string. You'll be happy one day, mad the next, sometimes in the same day. Because your mind is not stayed on the Prince of Peace. But that's what Christmas is all about. The Bible tells us in Luke 2:14, if you could put that original scripture up, it was the angels that made the announcement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I got a feeling that if we'll keep our minds stayed on Him and operate in the peace of God, not only will we be happier, and we will live longer, and we will be more opportunistic of the destiny and the purposes of God, but also will be released to help others to remove the barriers out of their life that they might also experience the opportunities that God has afforded them. That's what will change this nation. It won't be a political agenda. It won't be a church denomination. It won't be an economic revival, although all those things are possibly good. But what we really need is the peace of God on earth. That's what God sent. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're depending upon the earth's peace. So if you'd bow your head just for a minute, please. You say, hey, preacher, I don't know the peace of God. I do depend on everything being right. And I found in my life, most often, it's not. Would you pray for me? That's all I'm asking, for you to acknowledge your need for prayer, because God will answer that prayer if it's heartfelt, if it's sincere. Before I pray, I'd like to know if there's anyone here that needs that prayer. So if you would, just hold your hand up high enough for me to see it and then put it back down. Thanks. Anybody else? Thanks back there and over there. Thanks and over there. Amen. And back there. Thanks. You can put them down. So a number of people raise their hand. And let me tell you, the Prince of Peace is the only one that can give peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." He showed the contrast. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, "How do I do that?" Look up at me. Just look up at me real quick. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and you can be saved. You can experience this peace. You surrender your will, you surrender your way unto the Lord, and you follow Him, become a true disciple of His. Read your Bible, go to church, form Christian relationships, learn how to worship. When we do those four things, you're going to find yourself in a community that are all on the same corner. And then you can begin to learn from each other, those that have experienced this peace of God. So right now I'm going to ask our altar ministry, if you wouldn't mind, Jan, would you bring your team up and just come up across the front? These are people that just love to pray. And really what we're asking from you is not anything that we want to make you feel uncomfortable for or with, but we just believe that when you come for prayer, something happens at the altar. I've been preaching for 40-some years, and I've always seen the Holy Spirit show up in an intimate way in these prayer settings. And if you need peace in your home, your marriage, maybe your personal spiritual life is out of whack and you need God to give you a stabilization point, the cross is where you need to come. We want you to come in just a moment for prayer. If you're watching online today, I know that life can be chaotic. People can take your kid's ball. You can get mad for riding on their grass, or your dog, the neighbor's dog, or your employee, or your fellow worker, or a family member can cause chaos. But let me tell you something. Jesus has authority over all those things. So if you need help, you need prayer, you need peace, you call our office during the regular business hours at 440-960-1100, and let us pray with you. Let us believe God, or go online right now and send us an email, and somebody will get back to you just as soon as possible. For those of us that are sitting in here, Courtney was able to share with us a few minutes ago about texting 22383, and you put the word saved in there, or prayer, and we'll follow up with you. There's a little form you can fill out that'll come to your mobile device, and we'll pray with you. It's so easy to do it. So if you don't feel comfortable coming up here, let us know who you are so we can attach our faith with your faith. So would you mind standing to your feet, please? Let's just bless the Lord. And Pastor Marcus, would you guys just take us in worship? And I want us to just right now lift our hands to the Lord and go ahead and sing. And let's just offer Him our heart's thanks and our heart's prayers. Come on, let's lift it up to the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God be for you, who could be against you, right? And we want to take this opportunity as well to begin to lay hands, and I see Pastor Clarence is already praying for somebody, but maybe somebody could pray with them. And Pastor Marcus, I know you're playing, but we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. I want us to pray for our campus pastor, Pastor Clarence and Karen, and I want to pray for our new ministry pastors, Marcus and Alyssa. If you guys would come up here and just stand in front of us, we want to pray. Come on up here and pray. And I want all of us to reach a hand out to them. Pastor Adam, Jenna, would you come? Just face the congregation. Face the congregation. Yeah. And Pastor Karen, where is she? Is she praying with somebody? Oh, there's Pastor Clarence. Oh, she stepped out? Okay, she'll be right back. All right. Let's ask Pastor Clarence to come on over. We're going to pray for you, our new campus pastor. All right, there we go. And Sister Karen will join us in a minute. Come on up here, Tina. Pastor Montaigne, we all sat here. Let's pray. Reach out a hand to them. Come on, let's believe God. Father God, right now, we thank you, Lord, that you, O Lord, have called Pastor Studmires to the ministry of this house. We ask you, God, to anoint them in a greater capacity than they've ever had before. All that you have brought them through and up to this point are now for this day and this time. We thank you, God, for the giftedness that they bring. We ask, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to bring them, God, into greater grace and greater gifting for the good of your people. We love them, God, and we thank you and receive them as ministry gifts to Church on the North Coast. In your name we ask. Amen. And Father, right now, we thank you for Pastor Clarence. We pray, oh God, for Pastor Karen as our campus pastor. We thank you, Lord, for the experience they bring. We thank you, Lord, for the love that they have in their hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that this man and woman bring to this house. We're so grateful to be able to co-labor with them. God, we know that Church on the North Coast, Valley View, is a blessed church because of their leadership and giftedness. We pray for greater anointing, greater appointing. Oh God, greater authority, that they would operate in the kingdom wisdom of God. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for the callings of God upon their life and the way that you have woven our lives together in the tapestry of your kingdom on this earth. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, give them a hand, amen. Amen, amen. Well, don't forget, if you have interest in being a kind, friendly, benevolent greeter, see Hardy after the service, or a kind, benevolent, friendly usher, see him there. You could also sign up for the ladies' retreat coming up in January with our own Courtney Hauser. And don't forget, on the 18th, I believe, at 2 o'clock, next Sunday is our Christmas party. So don't miss that either. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Don't forget Wednesday nights at 7 for prayer. We love you. God bless you.